Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Nikki, this question really quick since I brought her up. 2% across the board, but then we're not raising the starting wages. How does that affect you as far as recruiting and then making sure once those people come in that we're getting them to where they need to be? Because I don't want to make it harder to recruit people.
Generally, that's been the county stance. The county has done the across the board for many, many years without raising the starting wages. So we have adjusted those bottom because we've had to for the minimum wage. It does make recruitment difficult in some departments.
So this is Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, District 4, which means that she's over the eastern half of the city in Pensacola Beach, basically. And she's talking with, who was this? Nikki Powell, HR director, I believe. And they were talking about, this is going back a little bit to about 2 weeks ago, the meeting that they had. But I had not talked about this yet. And I just thought it was an interesting observation. You'll see why in a second. You'll see how this kind of connects, not just to, hey, it's interesting stuff, but actually to some incidents that are in the news right now. But they were talking about the 2% across the board raise had been recommended by, I assume by Wes, although he was out, it had been by staff, in air quotes. But they, you know, that looks like that's what they're going to do for the budget. This is kind of like the pre-budgetary discussions and other matters. But anyway, Nikki Powell then kind of explaining which jobs are easier and which jobs are harder for the county to fill, which is affected, of course, by how much they pay. And that's kind of what Ashley was getting at is, you know, does what we pay make us non-competitive in any areas, some areas, other areas, not some, you know, give me a picture of this challenge because, you know, you might have some things that when we put in a 2% pay raise, that means that we're attracting people. Others where we put in a 2% pay raise and it's seen we're still losing people or we're still at a competitive disadvantage against other counties or other cities or, you know, the other places that people that have the skill set that county's looking to hire might go.
I have list of positions where I can tell you I can't hardly hire. And then I have list of positions where people are knocking down our door to come work for us. Some of that is cultural. Some of that is private industry just pays better. And so in those positions like IT, engineering, where private industry, you have to balance your work-life balance and what you're looking for.
Which makes sense. There's going to be some things that are hard and some things that are easy and some where there's a lot of people out there looking for that kind of work and others where it's like, man, there's just nobody looking for that kind of work. So, okay, John, I'm going to ask you to play county administrator for a second. You ready? HR person?
Yes, I like this role.
It's only 5:12 in the morning, so you're ready. You know, you already had to deal with the construction on, renovation, resurfacing?
No, resurfacing.
Resurfacing on the off-ramp from I-110 to Davis. So, yay, everybody's going to be dealing with that today.
And fog.
Listen, yesterday and today, our sister station, Cat Country, has people just like we come in and start at 5. And I don't come that way, but and you don't come that way because you come from the 90 down Davis. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but both of the people come across that way, and both of them were, you know, it was hard for them to get here on time just because of that. So that's at 5 a.m. So at 8 a.m. or 7:30 this morning, when you're, you know, in your best mood and definitely not running late and super lots of extra time you allowed, it's still going to suck. Is that, did I describe it accurately?
Yes,
is it
very.
Technical terminology that FDOT wants me to use?
Yes.
It's going to be a technical. Sucky road today.
Yeah.
And tomorrow probably, and you know, okay.
Well, hopefully they should be winding up soon.
Oh, all right.
So that's the good news. They normally try to wrap up by 6.
By the way, is that, you probably don't know the answer to this, but I'll ask you anyway. There was a sign on Davis when you turn on Creighton and go north towards 10, that said, I swear, I thought it said that the ramp to eastbound 10 was going to be closed. Did you see that sign? And what is that? I thought it was supposed to start like today, tomorrow, yesterday. You know anything about? Because I looked on the FDOT advisory and I couldn't figure out what they were talking about.
Yeah, no, I've been heading that way
every
day.
You go that way. You've seen that sign. Mm-hmm. So Just a heads up that at some point, it maybe that ramp is going to be closed. That's, I mean, that ramp is like the most ramp used in this county.
Yeah, that's huge.
Davis to 10 eastbound.
Hopefully they'll do it during the overnight hours.
I hope. You know. I hope. But I literally, every week, FDOT puts out this advisory of all the roads and closures and slowdowns and all this stuff. And I read through it all because there's all kinds of stuff going on, right? There's the reconstruction at 29 and 10, and I-110 is doing resurfacing, and there was all kinds of stuff in there. And I read every line of it, and I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. So I'm of no use in my job. Okay, back to the county. HR Director John is going to predict. Tell me a position where it's really easy to hire for Escambia County right now. Take a guess. Any, I mean, you know, there are wrong answers, but I'm not going to blame you for
IT.
IT is easy to hire for. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. She didn't mention that.
Like
now, tell me a job. They did mention that actually IT is not easy because it pays better in the private sector. The pay is higher because they can command, you know, IT folks. You got to have them, you know, right? Okay, so tell me one that you think is difficult to hire for.
Those people that, I don't want to call them tellers, but the people that, like, take your payments and...
Oh, like cashiers at the...
Cashiers, but also, like, the title people and, you know, just...
Okay,
just those dealing with people jobs.
All right, well, that answer's also wrong. So, but good job. You know, you played it.
Thanks.
I wouldn't have known this either, but that's why I probably did, because here, okay, this is Nikki Powell talking about what jobs, and I have to assume that this is sort of not just Escambia County, but this is Pensacola and Milton and Santa Rosa and Gulf Breeze, and, you know, everybody's got similar problems, but here you go.
What are the top two hardest to hire for, and then the top two easiest, would you say?
Right now, the hardest would be, I would say, corrections, and then the easiest, firefighters.
Okay.
We have a long list for that. They want to do our cadet program. That's very popular. And that's actually been very, like I said, very popular when we go to career fairs. We have a lot of people that are interested in that because not only do we pay them to go to school, we pay for school. We also do that for corrections. It's just a less popular choice. And I can't tell you why one or the other is better, but corrections is where we have the hardest time recruiting right now.
And that, I think, is a long-standing challenge to hire for corrections. It's weird in a way, right? Like, on the one hand, a lot of people want to be cops, okay? Especially around here, you know, where we like our cops. Working in the jail is not the same level of popularity. People don't want to work in corrections. And yet, you're dealing with the same people, you know, just before and after, you know, you're dealing with a lot of the similar kinds of challenges, disruptions and, you know, solving problems and, you know, subduing people, maybe not as often, but, you know, I mean, and I know you're also dealing with the public in other ways when they're just ordinary people, they're not criminals, but it is a constant issue of finding enough people to work in corrections. And corrections is, you know, you're not going to get wealthy working in corrections, and it is challenging work for sure. But as she says, you know, all of those benefits of, you know, not just good pay, but, you know, retirement package and, you know, being paid to go to school and all that kind of stuff, like, they take care of you in corrections, but that's just a hard one to get people to recruit for. So if you're interested in a pretty good paying job and, you know, you're willing to work with some difficult people, you can work either, in radio, like you can come work here.
Difficult people, Andrew.
Well, I meant like if they want to do my job and work with you, then.
But Andrew?
No, I'm kidding.
Too early.
No, but, you know, that's good pay and there's jobs available in jails. Okay. Certainly so. But I said all of that as a way of not just talking about what I thought was an interesting interchange and figuring out what jobs are easier, hard to hire for. But because we have this news story from yesterday that we have a couple of corrections officers who, at least according to the allegations, and it seems like from the story, the, you know, allegations may well be true because there's a lot of corroborating evidence, but this is why you actually have trials. They allegedly beat a guy pretty bad for essentially lipping off to him, is what the allegation is. And they didn't like it, and they, you know, hurt him pretty good in a bad way, and that's not a great story for the county or for the jail or for the corrections folks. And, you know, I say the same thing about corrections that I would say about law enforcement, which is, you know who hates a bad cop the most is a good cop. You know who hates a bad CO the most is a good CO. And, you know, I don't know these people. You know, I don't know the circumstances except for what I've read in the P&J and what Channel 3 has covered. But, and, you know, I also understand that sometimes what you have is people who are otherwise good and they just get beyond their breaking point, you know, and they just, or they slip up or mess up or do something that's really, you know, it doesn't mean that there's a pattern with them. It could be just a one-off, but also we also know that in every occupation there are just bad people, people who shouldn't be doing that job. So in any case, you know, they've been charged and we'll see what comes of it. But anytime the good guys and the COs are the good guys, anytime the COs are alleged to have committed a crime, you know, that's very unfortunate stuff. Just like anytime there's a, you know, first responder, law enforcement, fire, EMS, any of those folks are alleged to have done wrong. 520 on News Radio 92.3. I'm going to talk with the mayor about this. It's a small enough thing, but remember we were talking about the Bay Center yesterday, and tomorrow there's going to be the joint meeting with the city and the council, and, you know, maybe Charles Bear will charge admission to the mayor. We'll see what happens. It's a reference to his comments about whether the mayor should even be in this meeting. Charles Bear thinks he should not, and I think that's silly. But okay, Sana Dabadoy, and I know it sounds like I'm making that name up, but she's Indian, but that's her name, works for WT, and she made a comment in passing that the mayor, I thought, kind of reiterated as well, that just caught me by surprise. Because what's the biggest issue in not just Northwest Florida, but in Florida and across the country in general? What's the biggest, and you're going to want to say it's the Iran war. No, that's just top of mind right now. You're going to want to say it's, you know, inflation. No, inflation's not that bad, and that's not really the issue right now. It's Trump. No. Really think. You're going to want to say insurance, not insurance. That's not an everywhere problem. That's more of a Florida problem. What's the big issue for everybody everywhere right now? Housing affordability. John, what were you going to say?
I was going to say housing.
Were you? Okay, well, let's roll it back 20 seconds. What's the big issue for everybody everywhere? John, you got a guess?
Oh, yes.
Go on.
It's housing.
There you go. Okay. But according to WT, and I could not tell from the context whether she meant everywhere in Escambia and Pensacola, or whether she meant just the zone around the Bay Center, because it could have been either way. I'm going to ask the mayor about this morning. But she said this, and it was so completely contrary to everything we've heard in the last couple of years that I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was significant.
We did see, and then multifamily had reached somewhat saturation, so you want to be a little bit careful there because you also don't want your existing units to stay vacant. So in that sense, yes, we saw that retail would do well in this area.
Multifamily construction, she said, and I think she meant in the zone around the Bay Center, like the maybe 2 mile circle around the Bay Center, but that's still a pretty huge footprint, okay? That multifamily construction had reached the saturation point where, and multifamily is apartments, okay? I mean, and condos, but really it's apartments, okay? And if that's true, that means that we have as much supply as we need, which means that prices should not just be stabilized, but should actually start to come down. Because typically people overbuild a thing, you know, they build, when there's a gap, they build to catch up and then they wind up overshooting. And I'll just tell you, I've seen some of these, the prices on some of the, like, the townhome kind of subdivisions, like on 9 Mile that, like, Horton built and some of those, where they were, like, being really aggressive in the pricing. They're not as aggressive in the pricing anymore. So I think, again, I don't want to speak out of turn and generalize too much, but I'm talking to the mayor about this morning. I think maybe we've turned a corner on some of the housing crisis issue. And that's great news if that's true. That's why I'm being really cautious because I don't want to jump ahead. But based on that comment and some of the other stuff and some of what I have seen, John, you're nodding your head because you're kind of seeing the same thing.
Yes,
and
I am big time.
And that's really good news. Some combination of increasing supply at the various levels of price and the demand, somehow or other, it looks like we might be getting into a better condition when it comes to the price of living, which is, I mean, that's really good news for everybody. 524 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me.
watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. IZERVAY, or avacincaptad pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with IZERVAY. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
I was just nowhere near your neighborhood.
Still got some leftovers from yesterday's Hall of Fame pairings, so we might have a little bit more Joy Division, New Order, Billy Idol, and so forth today. We'll see. It's just good music anyway. U.S. Central Command says that more than 10,000 U.S. sailors, Marines, and airmen, along with over a dozen warships and dozens of aircraft, are executing the mission to blockade the ships entering and departing Iranian ports. During the first 24 hours of the Strait of Hormuz blockade, no ships made it past the U.S. blockade, and six merchant vessels complied with direction from U.S. sources to turn around and go home. Nothing to see here. To re-enter an Iranian port on the Gulf of Oman. The blockade is being enforced impartially against vessels of all nations entering or departing Iranian ports and coastal areas, including all Iranian ports and the Arabian Gulf and Gulf of Oman. U.S. forces are supporting freedom of navigation for vessels transiting the Strait of Hormuz to and from non-Iranian ports. So, first 24 hours of the blockade, our blockade. I still think this is amazing. You know, Iran says you can't transit the Strait of Hormuz, and Trump's like, you don't blockade the Strait. I blockade the Strait. You know, like, we're doing the same thing that they were doing. But, you know, it's...
My ships are bigger than
yours. I know.
Ships.
You never know what the strategy is going to be. Oh, you're going to use this as a threat against me? You'll shoot Guess me if what? I don't comply. I'll shoot myself. Watch me. You know, like, what? But you get it, too, because, you know, it doesn't really hurt us. It does hurt our allies and hurts the Chinese, who are screaming about this. They had a diplomatic release yesterday that basically said they think this is a bad idea. And for the Chinese, that's screaming. So, like I always say, we'll see. What happens? You know, are we doing more war? Are we doing less war? Is he done? And is it farther to go? I don't know. nobody knows, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, apparently J.D. Vance has pushed back on the Pope, and because J.D.'s Catholic. Okay, so the short version here is that he gave an explanation of, you know, just war theory and saying that you're... The comment that you can never be in favor of war if you're a person of Christian faith is just wrong historically, but also that you got to know your lane. He says, in the same way that it's important for the vice president of the United States to be careful when I talk about matters of public policy, because he's not the president, he says, I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters I'm sorry, he meant it a different way. The vice president, because he does represent the administration, has to be careful when he talks about matters of public policy, that it's important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology. Oh, that's a scold. Okay. He says, he's saying you talk, which is what I said. Okay, but, you know, I'm not a Catholic, nor am I the vice president. He says, if you're going to opine on matters of theology, you've got to be careful. You've got to make sure it's anchored in the truth. And that's one of the things that I try to do. And it's certainly something I would expect from the clergy, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, all of which I agree with. That's all correct. So, again, part of this kind of bicker fest between Trump and the Pope, and, of course, Trump's side of it is a little bit ruder. But, you know, the Pope is scolding the American war machine and everybody who supports it, and Trump's like, what you talking about, Willis? You know, so, and so is J.D. Vance, except he said it in a little bit more diplomatic way, which I always appreciate. Hey, Pensacola Navy Days, the Pensacola Navy Days Gala or Ball, however you want to conceive it, the night at the museum, Friday, May 8th at the Naval Aviation Museum. Cocktails, dinner, dancing, and Admiral Cherico Caesar is going to be speaking, and that should be great. It is on May 8th. May 8th. PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa.
I mean, I view it as very close to over.
President Trump on Mornings with Mary on Fox Business. The blockade of Iranian ports is now in day number three.
Over a dozen vessels, 100 fighter jets, drones, and 10,000 service members have been involved. All this aimed at striking back at Iran, which had applied a stranglehold to the Hormuz Strait, cutting off Iran's oil revenue and working to get talks restarted.
Fox's Greg Pelcut in Tel Aviv. Former California Congressman Eric Swalwell denying another sexual misconduct claim.
Former model Lana Drews alleging that Swalwell drugged and sexually assaulted her in a West Hollywood hotel in 2018.
Fox's Griff Jenkins in Washington. A foul weather outbreak in multiple states spawns tornadoes.
Honestly, I was super scared, but I had kids, so I'm very glad we all made it out
okay. A woman in Wisconsin, Fox Weather predicts another round of severe storms today. Could get even worse by Friday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Partly cloudy this morning. We've got 63 degrees here across the area. We're going to get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. A suspect is in custody after a shooting in Bay Minette this week. Happened on Monday evening. Officers say they responded to South Hoyle Avenue, where they found a victim with a gunshot wound who was taken to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say that shooting was an isolated incident, and there's no ongoing threat. The investigation into that incident does continue. The Blue Angels have a new commanding officer. Commander Logan Peck was announced on Tuesday at NAS Pensacola as the team's 2027-2028 leader, replacing Captain Adam Bryan, who's led the squadron since 2024. Peck said he's humbled and still a little bit in shock to be selected as the lead as the leader of the Navy's Flight Demonstration Squadron. Well, Mobile County now has a new star, Alexia Jay of Irvington, winning season 29 of NBC's The Voice. She performed Sunday morning alongside her coach Adam Levine of Maroon 5 during the season finale of that program last night. A new downtown is starting to take shape. The reimagined Palafox project continuing on.
Palafox Street starting to look like its future self as construction moves into the final stretch. Channel 3's reporting today that the underground work and accessibility upgrades are done, and crews are now focused on expanding sidewalks, paver parking spaces, and new landscaping. The project remains on schedule for a May 24th completion. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Naval Air Station Whiting Field has opened a new air traffic control tower at North Field. It's a big upgrade for the Milton installation. The tower will support T-6 Texan II flight operations and increase air traffic control capacity for training the next generation of naval aviators. Commanding Officer Captain Ted Elkins says the modern facility enhances safety, efficiency, and operational readiness. NAS Whiting Field is the busiest aviation complex in the world, they say, with more than 1 million flight operations annually. Well, a big congratulations to the Escambia Sheriff's Office and K-9 Rigby, who's been named as Florida's top dog in the Florida Sheriff's Association K-9 March Madness competition. Rigby is the first Escambia County K-9 to win the championship. The Sheriff's Office is thanking the community for rallying behind him during the voting period. Well, President Trump's name will live on in Palm Beach County. The governor signing a bill yesterday renaming part of State Road 80 after Trump. Over 120 miles of the road from Palm Beach County to Lee County will be known as President Donald J. Trump Highway. The change takes effect July 1st. Palm Beach County Republican State Representative Meg Weinberger sponsored the bill, and she said she's proud to see the lasting tribute to honoring President Trump's leadership. It is 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3, 63 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson for our full forecast.
We will have sunny skies today with a high near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Keeping the sunshine around on Friday with a high near 80 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Sunshine on Saturday with a high near 80. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 63 degrees right now. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's the 26th Annual Crawfish Festival this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Come out and kick off your Saturday morning with the Crawfish 5K at 8, Kids Crawfish Race later that afternoon, and fireworks at 8 on Saturday night. Performing live, we'll have Colleen Sexton, Jared McConnell and the High Aces, Bangarang Peter, Tyler Livingston and the Absolutes, the Oliver Twist Band, and so many other great bands all weekend long. You'll want to stop by and visit all the local artists in between all the fun. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sonnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in studio, we have Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, sir, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
All right. I'm doing well. Good to have you. Let's talk about incidents, and then we'll talk about the First Amendment auditor stuff at the end, because I know once we get talking about that, we won't want to talk about anything else. We had a shooting at the Pines Apartments Thursday. A man was found shot.
Yeah, we got a call that it was shots fired. We get there, and an individual has been shot in the abdomen, non-life-threatening injuries, fortunately. And we do have a suspect, but we do not, have not yet made an arrest. We're not yet ready to make that public because some of the information we're getting is a bit sketchy.
That never happens. Always you get good participation, clarity of information. Everybody's forthcoming, and the stories always add up.
If you say so.
I don't know how y'all do it.
I believe our detectives would beg to differ.
I was going to say, I don't know how y'all do it to sort through all of the craziness that people tell you all the time. And that's even when they're sincere and honest, people give different accounts. And when they're not sincere and they're dishonest and they're criminals and they're liars.
Yeah. In the best of scenarios, we talk to a victim and then we talk to three or four witnesses. that are willing to come forward,
yeah.
And they even give a little different perspective on what took place. And then we have a video, and we have to piece these things together.
You know, this is off the topic, but it sort of makes me think of this. Obviously, with body camera, you know, you have a lot of opportunity to review deputy behaviors. I assume that for a lot of deputies, their brain says they did it one way, and then they watch the video like, oh. I mean, that's human. That's normal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's not just deputies.
Right, that's
everyone.
People.
And everyone's on video now. So
yeah.
We go to a, let's just say shoplifting. We get to a clerk or an employee, and they say, this is what happened. And then they know there's video, and they say, go look at the video. I'll tell you, this is what happened.
Yep.
And we look at the video, like, dude, that's not what happened. They're like, really? And they actually walk to the video and say, I cannot believe that's what took place.
Humans do that. I mean, the brain is not the greatest all the time. So, and especially under stress and trauma and
exactly.
You know, motives and all that kind of stuff. We had a shooting at Oakwood Terrace with two victims on Sunday.
Yeah, this is a rare one. It happened on Sunday morning. Again, we get a call that an individual had been shot, and come to find out there were two individuals shot. One was shot in the abdomen and one was shot in the extremities. Both of them appear to be non-life-threatening again. But, again, we are getting conflicting statements, nonsensical mm-hmm. accounts of what took place. But we are investigating it, and we're still asking people to come forward if they have information.
Every time I see a news story about a violent crime that takes place in the old TA at Oakwood Terrace now, I always hear the same thing. Not enough is being done. Better security. Who's taking care of us? Nobody's doing a good job. But, I mean, there's cameras, right?
There are many cameras and
lots of cameras.
Cameras. There are. They typically will hire an off-duty deputy that mm-hmm. works there. Oftentimes, they'll stop people as they're coming in and determine whether they're supposed to be there.
And you can't just go like it's a gated, right?
Right. Isn't it? Well, yeah. It's a restricted
yeah.
type area. Yeah. I don't know all the rules now, but you can only have so many visitors and some ages and that sort of thing. But this happened on Sunday morning, and we do believe we understand who was involved, not just the people that got shot.
Yeah.
But we also understand there might be some other people involved. But again, we're going to need some cooperation to actually make an arrest in this case. We're certainly willing to do that. And the thing that gets me all the time is you're laying there and sometimes a injured and pile of blood, and you still won't tell us who did it. It's incomprehensible.
It definitely is. You guys also had a drowning this last week in a pool, residential pool.
Yeah, 60-plus-year-old female was found drowning in a pool. No foul play suspected. We believe there might be alcohol involved.
How do you get accustomed to seeing dead bodies? Because I can't. I've never seen other one like my grandmother. You know, that kind of, like, very, very rarely in my life have I ever. And you know, we went to the medical examiner's office a long time ago, so I've seen dead bodies in the examination phase. But I just don't know how you adapt to that reality, because it's got, at least in the beginning, it's got to be completely unsettling, shocking.
Yeah, I don't know that you ever adapt fully to it. It hasn't been my experience. I have more difficulty with an individual that is hurt,
yeah.
or dying, suffering. Those are the, because you can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
With a dead body, at least after the initial efforts to revive them or to save them, you know that individual is no longer suffering, and then you shift into this crime scene, protecting the crime scene and work on the investigation. But working at the Pensacola Police Department, we work traffic accidents, so we responded to a lot of traffic accidents, and that's where my hat goes off to EMS personnel, firefighters that respond to these scenes, are certainly ER room
yeah.
doctors and nurses, because, man, they deal with some horrific injuries. I know that because we see them first, and then we take them to them for care. So oftentimes we're not the ones fixing the broken leg or the shattered.
And by the way, you reminded me, is it this week or was it last week? It was telecommunicators week?
This week.
This week is telecommunicators
week, yes.
Which is, you know, dispatchers is what most people would think of. But, you know, right. First responder, the person you call 911, celebrating those people because they are essential to everything in emergency response that happens. And it's a tough job.
I call them the first of the first responders. They're the ones that have that calm voice on the other end of the mm-hmm. other end of the line or under the airwaves. I know, again, from experience that, man, it's good to know that someone's listening. If you click that radio and you tell them, whether you're talking like a regular person or whether you're in distress, they know where you're at. They've already probably sent you back up, and they know to what we call clear the channel or make the channel emergency traffic only so that you can get information as you need it.
Yeah, they do. And the deal, the crisis, the trauma, the stress, the yelling, the screaming, the things that they deal with, the, you know, clarifying, getting good information so that, you know, your officers can show up on, I mean, they're absolutely essential, and I'm glad that we'd celebrate them at least once a year, and we should more often than that. Obviously, this incident with your one of your deputies who was, and you tell me if I get anything wrong, she was working extra duty doing security at the Islamic Center. There was one of these so-called First Amendment auditors, a TikTok YouTuber type person who tries to get people worked up and get them provoked to respond in a way that gets him views or whatever. And she took the bait. I mean, not as bad as a lot, but maybe not quite as calm as you would have preferred. You put her on administrative leave, said she did not live up to the standards that you expect for, you know, your core values. And then you promised that she would be back on the job soon. So your chance to talk about this, I know you've already put out that video, but tell me what you saw in the video. Tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Just, you know, your reaction as a sheriff as you're watching this.
Yeah, well, just to be clear, she wasn't put on administrative leave. She was put on desk duty or administrative assignment. So
is that different?
It is different. Administrative leave means you stay home until we finish the investigation.
Okay,
so she
was just not on patrol.
She was still coming to work. She was working from the precinct.
Okay.
What she was doing.
Honestly, all the years I've been talking to you, I didn't know those were even two different things. So, right. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
There's a difference there. To your point, she was working off-duty gig. She was in her cruiser car, and this guy was in a public area. Again, I guess I'm not putting words in his mouth or thought, certainly in his head, but testing his First Amendment rights, which, as we know, you have the right to stand in a public area. You have the right to record video and audio from that public vantage point, which is what I put in my video.
Anything your eyes can see and your ears can hear from a place you're lawfully allowed to be can be recorded.
Right. To include inside lobbies of our own sheriff's office. And we know that. We train on this extensively. We have seen other auditors in other areas. We've seen, you know, the good and the bad. And, we've taken those and we've critiqued those. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we're human, and I've, you know, there were some words used that I wish that our deputy had not used. And I mentioned our core values of courtesy, integrity, and professionalism, and I want to be transparent. So we put the video out and say, hey, you know, I think that we could have done this a little bit better. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's something we just remind her. We have that dialogue with not just her, but other deputies and say, this is an example of what we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we don't have to agree with his thoughts or opinions or you know, but we do protect those. We are sworn to uphold the Constitution. I certainly am as the sheriff, and we're going to continue to do that, even for those that we don't agree with.
And I think the beginning of this was he was videoing the cars from the street, and she walked up to say what's going on, and he didn't want to talk to her, but then. And all of that's fine, obviously. You know, if somebody's behaving in an unusual way, you can talk to them. And they have rights as well. They can say, you know, I'm here on a public street doing my business. I'm not interfering with traffic. Leave me alone. And that's kind of the end of it, right?
Well, we tell people if you see something, say something.
Right.
And in today's environment, people are always calling us and saying, there's a guy that's acting a little creepy. He looks like he's videotaping children, say.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in a public area. And then you got another guy saying, this guy looks like he's videotaping cars entering or leaving a mosque. And so you're looking, okay, what could this be? And we have to respond. So law enforcement officers are always put in that tricky situation where we go there and say, hey, how are you doing? But they don't have to answer us. They don't have to talk to us. So what we do is we, you know, visually observe them. And if it looks like they've got a phone, you know, videotaping something, then we say, okay, there's nothing more that we can really do.
Yeah.
In some cases, the people tried to agitate, and I'm not referring to this one specifically, but in general, the ones that I've seen, they try their best to get under someone's skin, and it's the world we live in.
And so, when just looking at that video and thinking about her reactions, I know, you know, you were pretty general in your commentary about not living up to your standards. It seemed to me like there were sort of two or three parts of that that might be worth commenting on. One was at one point she touched him, at least it looked like from the video. Not hard, but, you know.
Right.
Okay, that's one. Two was he was very close to her and then circling her, which if that were me, I mean, I'm probably taking action at that point. And then there was kind of the verbal engagement.
Back and forth.
Back and forth, not letting it go, not being quiet, there was some insults, mild insults, but still, you know, not what you'd, what we'd say is kind of the ideal verbal, but you tell me, those seem to be the three most relevant to talk about points. So you tell me what you saw with those three elements.
Well, I think I'll start with, you know, there was, to me, there was no reason to call him back in. He was already walked away, mm-hmm. and she called him back in to her, basically. But I will tell you that I do not expect our deputies to allow someone to circle them. I do not expect our deputies to allow someone to get close enough to them from the front or the back. I expect mm-hmm. them to maintain a safe area. So she had the discretion then to take action, to your point. And the fact that she didn't is not necessarily room for discipline, but is certainly room for dialogue. And,
yeah.
And let's have a conversation. You could have done this. You could have done this there and here. So my point is, we oftentimes when we're doing crowd control, we push people back. We oftentimes do that, but we don't arrest every single person that we touch.
Right.
There is discretion, you know, in that situation. If we use force, and again, that was more of a get back off of my away from me. But again, we do this a lot. I'm not going to say that I would have done that, but I would have I would expect. Our deputies to not allow someone to get that close to them, and I pointed that out to them. So I know some people think, well, wait a minute, why did you put her on desk duty? Well, I put her on desk duty because of some of the vile complaints and threats that she was getting from these people from other parts of the country, and we were wanting to just run those to ground to make sure that they weren't someone lying in wait and trying to set our deputies up
for her safety,
for her own safety. Yeah,
yeah.
But we didn't take her firearm. We didn't put her on administrative leave, to your point. We put her on desk duty, which means she was taking reports from the precinct. She was working at the precinct, answering the phone, doing different things. So it's a learning lesson for her, and she's back on duty. And you know, we're still getting some comments from some people, mostly from out-of-town people that are followers of this sort of engagement that their person's trying to get to. So
I bet she's getting some high fives, too. From some people just to put up with it, you know, because even though I think, you know, we agreed that there are ways she could have done it better, there's also a lot of ways could have done it worse. And just putting up with, I mean, he's a jerk.
We put up with jerks all the time.
It's his constitutional right to be a jerk, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's, you know, can't celebrate somebody putting up with jerks. You know, it's a part of the job, right?
Again, it's all about the Constitution. We're going to uphold the Constitution, even if we don't believe in what an individual is saying. And I will tell you that a law enforcement professional is trained from rookie school to field training to just experience in our daily training. But you know what? It can get under your skin sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. There were people on both sides of this here that she should have gotten a medal, and then she should have been fired, and she should be arrested, and he should be arrested. And to your point, she let him get too close to her. I think all of those things can be evaluated, and then you take it piece by piece and move forward with
it. And even when you're doing everything exactly right, some people cannot be de-escalated. Some people will not allow it. So, I mean, you can do all the right things and it doesn't work too. So.
Well, and so I think it's important for your listeners to know what I've told our deputies. Look, I don't expect you to allow someone to follow or slip around you or get behind you or get up in your face. We're not going to tolerate that. And one thing I'm going to remind our deputies is that you don't have to warn somebody more than once. You can warn them one time and then you can put them in jail. You know, there's this thought, oh, you didn't warn them enough. And we do, and our deputies will warn people a lot. It depends on the scenario. We made an arrest at the beach. I think we warned a guy 6-7 times, only because we were able to in that environment, in that situation. But just to be clear, you can warn them one time, and then you can put them in jail. And if they don't comply, you can put your hands on somebody. And if they swing at you or threaten you, you can punch them in the mouth. You can do that. And I'm going to support you to do that.
Can I just one follow-up question, just because I want to make sure and get out accurately. When you said you put her on desk duty for her own safety, are you saying that if the threats hadn't been coming in, she wouldn't have even merited going on desk duty?
Well, we evaluate calls all the time, and take people off the streets to do so.
Okay.
Well, there's an officer bill of rights that we abide by, and we have administrative reviews all the time.
Okay.
Again, to your point on the body cameras, and we can critique them and say good job or bad job.
Yeah.
We probably put more body cam video out than any agency that I know. We put a lot of body camera video.
I agree.
I put stuff
lots.
Out all the time, good and bad.
And not edited or reduced. A lot of times raw stuff, which is, you know, that's the point. That's what you want.
It's because it's when we hear that it might be of interest to people, or if it's something we're very proud of, which most of the time it is,
yeah,
we'll put that out. We put a car, we'll try to put the video out because people know where their tax dollars are going. And they need to know the philosophy of the sheriff's office. They need to know the philosophy of their sheriff. This is what you voted me for and to the office for. And I think that it's important to me. I promise transparency. Boy, you're going to get it.
Sometimes more than you want. But
you may not want it. Right. Just skim on past it. You can applaud us, or you can critique us. Either way, but we're going to be open. We're going to be honest with people.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, is always a pleasure. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Also, fog this morning. Beware until 9 a.m. We have a dense fog advisory for Airware. Now, it might be real heavy in your neighborhood, not so much out on the street. You know, you want to get on the collector, but it's hit or miss this morning. So just be careful, drive safely, have your lights on. The reason you turn your lights on when it's foggy, daybreak, you still want to have your lights on, not so you can see with your headlights, but so the people behind you can see your taillights. That's the big thing, and also oncoming traffic can see. So for your safety, turn on your lights. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Tickets for the 3rd annual Night at the Museum Gala are on sale now for Friday night, May 8th, featuring special guest speaker, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico. Table sponsorships are $1,400 all in, and individual tickets are $175, but you can save 20% at checkout with the promo code EARLYBIRD. Get tickets and all things Pensacola Navy Days at PensacolaNavyDays.org. Spend an evening of fine dining under the planes and support Pensacola Navy Days. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bay Outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
You speaking to me?
I don't see nobody else standing there.
Read the story about the doctor, former doctor, whatever, in Walton County who took out the wrong organ and somebody died in the process. Took out, it was supposed to be a splenectomy and took out the liver instead, or maybe I have it vice versa, but I think that's right. You know, it was one way or the other. And the patient, the allegation, you know, this is from 2 years ago, is when the event happened, but it's finally kind of, you know, charges are being leveled or whatever. And the allegation is that it was just a mess in the OR, and that this guy, all kinds of things. Just, it was really bad. Like, not just that he got the wrong organ, but that he was doing things in the process that were not correct and not, you know, randomly shooting staples at I don't know. It was crazy, some of the stuff that I read. But I do have a question, John. And the question, because my original thought when I read this story was, well, I don't really know a spleen from a liver necessarily. So I was going to do a quick test. You ready, John?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to give you a picture of a spleen or a liver, and you tell me which one it is. Okay? That first one right there. What's that?
That's a liver.
Okay. How about this one right here?
Looks like a liver, but...
All right. How about this one right here?
Looks like a liver.
How about this one right here?
It looks like a liver.
All right. So all four of them look like a liver, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Spleen, liver. Now, it's a terrible story. Somebody died. But my point is, you know, in the fog of war, I don't want to give a doctor a pass. He's supposed to know the difference.
Yeah.
And majorly. There was a prior case, apparently, where he also did the wrong removal of the wrong thing because, you know, the organ had migrated in the body or it was in the wrong. Anyway, but my first thought, because my brain is super weird, was I don't really know how difficult it is to tell a spleen from a liver. And I had the same reaction you had, John, is like, the last one, I'm pretty sure that's a liver, but the other one, a doctor's supposed to know.
Yes.
A doctor's supposed to know.
You would think.
And not take out the wrong one, which is a horrifying thing to
listen on air.